our attention towards the bed sheet this morning. Amen. One reason I love a big screen is because all the work that goes into all these graphics and designing the worship and all this kind of stuff, it looks so much better if it's way up there. And I just love that. And so, anyway, we need to pray about that, and let's get that thing back. Amen? Praise God. Journey of Joy, little series that I wrote on the Christmas story, biblically. And you can get all these graphics, you can get all this Bible study stuff that we've wrote, and go to your computer, and you can do it all just like Raj does. I sit in my office and do it, and review, and it's just great. So thanks for all the help that's gone into this message series, Journey of Joy. Let's look at it today. Here we go. We're moving, and we're moving quick, Raj. We've got about 20 good solid minutes. The Prophet of the Highest is the title of our sermon this morning. The Prophet of the Highest. Can you say that with me? The Prophet of the Highest. We're talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the Prophet of the Highest. A lot of people don't even know that. John the Baptist was the Prophet of the Highest. Okay? That's what he was called in the Word. Let's keep looking. Luke 1:76, "And thou, child, shall be called the Prophet of the" what? "Highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways." Now, if most people would ask you who's the Prophet of the Highest before you came here this morning, you might not have known that. Because there's a lot of prophets in the Bible, right? But who's the Prophet of the Highest? John the Baptist. Can we get that down? Who's the Prophet of the Highest? John the Baptist. If he's the Prophet of the Highest, if he's the one that was going before the way of the Lord, man, we ought to talk about him. Let's get to know him a little bit. Let's see some things from his story. Matthew 3. If you have your Bible, follow along. But otherwise, it'll be right here on the bed sheet. Amen? Here we go. "In those days came," say it with me, "John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So even Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years earlier that this prophet of the highest, John the Baptist, would come. This is incredible. "And the same John had his raiment," say it with me, "of" what? "Camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was" what? "Locust and wild honey." He's a tough sucker. Amen right there? You try to wear all that in that heat, man, you're stinking and everything. What you eating? Locust, wild honey. Don't mess with me. I'll knock you out. I guarantee it you didn't mess with him. Amen? He dealt in a desert place, and I'm getting off down on this, but he lived down by the Dead Sea area. I've traveled to Holy Land many times. This is right there where he was from. He lived with a group of people called the Essenes. Listen, we take a tour bus in there, and we can't even stay there for 30 minutes. It's so hot and sticky and mess like that. That's where they lived. And you wore leather, brother? Yes. And camel's hair? Amen. John the Baptist, great guy. Amen? Now, most of us know John the Baptist because of that stuff I just read, right? That's what we've heard of. And he said this, John the Baptist, when Jesus came on the scene, say if you can remember what he said. He said what? When he saw Jesus coming, he said what? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away" what? "The sin of the world." Yeah, we remember all that. Let's go back a little earlier. Find out who he is, where he came from, what was his whole story. The miraculous journey of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1. Now we're backing up to the Christmas story and the Christmas time. Luke 2 is your Christmas story, right? We're in Luke 1. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named," help me now, "Zechariah. He was of the course of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was" what? So John's mama and daddy, we're going to see them here in a little bit, is going to be Zacharias and Elizabeth. "They were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child because Elizabeth was" what? "Barren. And they both were" now what? "Old as the hills." Amen? Some of you that are retired, don't you let that sink right in. We're having a baby in 9 months. Y'all go ahead and just talk it over. Y'all just have it out right now. We're pregnant. Go ahead, wife, go ahead and tell your husband that right now. I just want to see him. We're pregnant. I forgot to tell you I'm pregnant. How could that be? It's a miracle. Here we go. So let's look. Let's review real quick what we read. They were both righteous before God. This is his parents to be. They walked in the commandments of the Lord. They were blameless. It doesn't mean they were sinless, but it means they lived their life in such a way that no accusation would stick to them. They were blameless. You couldn't be blaming them for stuff. Amen? It didn't mean they were sinless, but they didn't live a kind of life that was out of control. They were childless. Elizabeth was sterile. Okay? What if she just didn't have children? She was sterile. Okay? And they were both very what? I'm going to give you some news. Old and sterile equals no child. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Keep looking. Let's move the story forward. Now, Zechariah was a priest. He was doing his job. And something happened. It came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, the course of Abia, whatever that is, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot, his turn, his duty, was to go burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. What's your job today? Got to go burn incense. That's what I'm supposed to do today. Okie dokie. That's what he's supposed to do. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without the temple at the time of the incense. So people are praying. He's going in there like this. And Gabriel appears to him. He's in the temple. What's unique about this story right here? Here's something very unique. For about 400 years, if you look at your Bible, there seems to be a period of silence from the Old Testament to the New Testament of about 400 years. There were prophets all the time talking. But then there was a time of silence. It's almost like God forgot them. They hadn't heard from God through these mighty prophets in years. And also they'd been overtaken by Rome, been conquered by Rome. And now the Romans have taken over. And they're still doing their things with the Roman soldiers everywhere all around them. It's like God had forgot about them. So he's in there doing his thing, still doing the right thing. He's a good guy. He's a blameless guy. He's a good priest. He's not a bad priest. He and his wife are good folk. He's going about what he's supposed to be doing. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. Whoa! Standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was what? Yeah! I mean, I heard about stuff like this, but like it was like 100 years ago. You know, because I know my Bible and the Torah and I've read the scriptures of the prophets. Wow! But he's troubled and he's scared to death. Who wouldn't be scared to death? Say, come on. I mean, if it's an every week thing going on, maybe not. But whoa, what's this? And Gabriel makes an announcement to him. Gabriel says, fear not. Whew, thank you. I was really scared. I needed that. For your prayer is heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to bear you a son, and you shall call his name what? Call his name what? Okay. So I'm going from scared to you crazy. You know what I mean? So hey, isn't that how our emotions are sometimes? I get over my scared part, and then all of a sudden, are you crazy? That's how I can see him acting. You shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. I guess so. We could throw a party if my wife ever had a baby. I'm just adding to it. I need to write my little translation like this. It would be fun to read. Amen? For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So the angel had a talk with him. So what did we learn real fast? He was praying. Your prayer's heard. Elizabeth's going to bear a son. You shall call his name what? You shall have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Watch this part. He shall positively not drink wine or intoxicating beverages. What? Is that what the angel said? That's what the angel said. Didn't say he couldn't eat that locust and wild honey and dress like a wild man. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from the womb. Okay? This is wild. Now, a couple of thoughts I want to get your attention on. They're going to think he's drunk, so make sure he doesn't drink. Amen? This boy, when he's born and when he grows up into a man, he is going to be so full of power and the Holy Ghost that people are going to think he's drunk. So Zacharias, make sure he doesn't drink. So they'll know it's me and not some mess making him act this way. Amen? Y'all listening? He'll be lit up all right, but with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Lit up. Now, I'm not talking about crazy like you see on television. All right? He was the real deal. He was honest. He did a great job. This guy's incredible. Okay? No phoniness at all. No game play. No trying to get an offering. There ain't nothing that he did like that. Amen? The Bible says you and I, it says the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost. When they got filled in Acts 2, people mocked them because they heard them speaking in another language. Actually, we find out the language they were speaking in, yet was unknown to them, but it was languages that other people could understand. And so they heard them speak, and they thought they were drunk. They said, they're full of new wine. These are not. And Peter says, we're not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day, or 9 a.m., according to that time. Okay, so the Holy Spirit should light us up. You and I should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with what? Wine, wherein is what? I'll stop right there, and this won't part of the message. What's the Bible say about drinking? Here's what the Bible says about drinking right there. Did y'all see it? Yes or no? That's what the Bible says about drinking. Now, there's other places. Drunkenness is forbidden, 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 all through the Word of God. What about the Christian? The Bible says, be not drunk with what? Wine, wherein is what? Excess. So, can you drink according to the Bible? Well, according to the Bible, it seems like you can. Okay? I don't. I like iced tea. I'm fine with it. Coffee? Amen? Whatever. All right? Listen. Plus, my mama drank enough for the whole family. Okay? Really, honestly. Ruined our whole life. It was terrible. Okay? So that's the choice that the pastors made here. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, this is written to Christians, we're not to be drunk with wine, wherein is what? You ought to be able to know that. You ought to be able to know. That's what the Bible teaches. But now, John's case, it wasn't supposed to touch his lips. Is that right? Yes or no? That's right. We're to not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but we're to be filled with what? The Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord and not doing stuff like that because you're drunk. Now, you ought to be able to be alert. And you ought to be able to sing, not because you don't know where you're at, man. You ought to be able to sing because you're of a right mind, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you can find good things to praise God about. Does that make any sense? Okay, here we go. We're walking. Now, because of him, because of John, because of this one that's going to be born, he tells Zechariah, many are going to turn to the Lord. Luke 1:16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, their God. We're rolling. Keep going. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Can we say that together? He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. This part, especially as I want to read this part right here. To turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay? So John's going to be going forth in power to accomplish these three things. Pop them up. To do what? Here they are. To turn fathers' hearts back to their children. John the Baptist is going to come. He's going to be preaching, going to be teaching. He's going to have a role in taking a father's heart and turning it back to their children. He's going to speak in a way that's going to turn the disobedient into the path of wisdom. He's going to help people get in the right place to receive spiritual things. This is going to be his ministry when he's here on this earth. And I put this up, a great Christmas gift, parents, that we can give our kids every Christmas. Listen, these are the three things that John was going to try to accomplish when he was on this earth under the Spirit. He wasn't going to try to do it. He was going to do it. He was going to get people to love their kids. Amen? He was going to get men and women on the right path of righteousness. This was his goal. Amen? You know, this should be the goal of Fellowship Church right here. Amen? We should always talk about us loving one another. We should always talk about parents loving your children. Is that a good thing? Is that the right thing? Yes or no? Say. Amen? We shouldn't be about dividing your family. There's some religions that are out there about dividing your family. That's crazy. We should be promoting you loving your family unconditionally. Amen? Like God loved us. Pop that back up. I'm sorry. Also, this should be a place where we teach folks to get on the right path. Amen? People shouldn't come here and me lead them astray down a wrong path. They ought to be able to come here and us get them on a right path. Amen? And the last thing, this should be a place where you get in the right place to receive spiritual things. Amen? Well, that's a great job for parents. It's a good job for us as a church. We ought to be about that, where we lead you in a place to receive spiritual blessing in your life. This is what John was going to be about. It's good stuff. So what happened in the story? And I'm really late now. Here we go. You have got to push me now. Here we go. And Zechariah said unto the angel, how can I know this? I'm an old man. My wife, she's really old. So he didn't believe it. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him, to please God. You must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Zechariah didn't believe it. There's no way this can happen. Disbelieving God displeases God. Can you say that with me? Disbelieving God displeases God. Come on, one more time. Disbelieving God displeases God. You know what we do? We help one another disbelieve so often. We should be about helping one another to have faith. Not crazy, kooky, crazy mess. I ain't talking about that. But I'm talking about we ought to encourage one another to believe God's Word, to believe His promises. Are y'all hearing me this morning? This is a problem. God doesn't look at this lightly. Well, I'm just flesh and blood. And, you know, I don't really believe all that stuff you put in that book. God gets ticked off when that happens. How do you know, preacher? Because right here. And the angel said unto him, I am Gabriel, dude. You didn't eat pizza last night. Are you hearing me? Say. I'm the one that stands in the presence of God, Jack. Y'all listening? And I'm sent here to tell you this. And to show you these glad tidings. And I got a feeling he like, you don't have to scream. This is just me looking at it. Let me tell you something. You were dumb before I got here. Behold, you shall be what? Dumb. It's dumb for us not to believe God. Amen? If you stay in that way where you don't believe God, and well, this happened to me and that happened to me, you'll never hear God. You'll never hear God. You'll never experience God. You have got to start at the place all of us have to start, and that is believing in Jesus Christ, that He's our Savior, that He came to this earth. I put my faith and trust in you. You cannot please God by not believing in Him. Y'all hearing me this morning? Vivid picture. God interrupts the Christmas story. It was all going to be good. Nice little story. Until Mr. Man, who didn't believe, came along. You're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak This would have been really good. You could have wrote your family. You could have started a radio show or something with this stuff. I was telling you, wasn't that? Until the day that these things shall be performed. Because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Isn't that good for us to know this morning, church? God's Word says that you can bank on it, you can believe it. To not believe it is disbelief. To not believe it is sin. To not believe it causes a big problem between you and God. We think sometimes our hair is too long. He might not like that, or something we might wear. I didn't wear a skirt to church. You know, God's really not concerned about all that. Here's what He's concerned about. Do you believe me or not? You don't believe me, you call me a liar, we got a problem. And He had a problem right here. He was willing to sort of interrupt the pretty story. So you ain't going to be able to talk about it. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they marveled that he's in there so long in the temple. Keep going. And when he came out, what happened? What happened? What happened? He couldn't speak to them. They perceived. He's seen a vision. For he beckoned unto them, and he remained what? Keep looking. God's promises are true. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth what? Now this was not the same birth of Jesus. Whose dad was John the Baptist? Somebody tell me. That was his seed. Jesus was not born of Joseph. He was born of who? The Holy Ghost. The Father. Got it? Yes or no? You understand that? This is still a miracle, though. This old man, that old woman. You let your mind go there. Go ahead. Bless his heart, he couldn't talk, but he did what he could. Amen? I'm sorry. Come on. Here we go. Sorry. He believed that much anyway. Amen? Come on. I'm sorry. And she hid herself 5 months. That's sort of a funny line right there. I mean, really, honestly. She hid herself. You know what I mean? She probably had to, who knows what. Anyway. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein He looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So she hid herself. She was in awe. She couldn't believe she's pregnant. And this had happened. And then basically, this is a story where, and we'll talk about it next week, where Mary hears from the angel Gabriel. And here's what's going to happen with her and the newborn king, Jesus. But when she gets her news, drop it on down to verse 36, I believe. Raj, find me that for me. When she gets the news, the angel tells her something. You mean I'm going to have a kid of the Holy Ghost? I mean, here's Mary talking back, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? It's all right to talk with God. It's okay. He'll talk. He'll lay it out in His Word. He'll help you. But He gave her some extra help. She's a young teenage girl. So He told her what's going to happen to her, but then He says this, "And behold, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren." That was a little help for Mary, don't you think? Amen? Knowing, look, now if you can do this for my old cousin, you might can do this for me. Amen? So she makes haste, and she goes to see Elizabeth. And we hear this great verse, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." See, that's why God gets so offended when we don't believe in Him. Because nothing's impossible with God. Does God do everything we ask Him to do? No. Can God do anything we can ask or think? Yes. To put Him in a box ticks Him off. That's what I'm learning here today. So Mary went, she believed God, and this is a little another part of the story. Okay? She entered into the house of Elizabeth to see Him and, you know, spoke to Elizabeth. And now you see what happened. So she goes to see Elizabeth, ask her, you pregnant? And there she was. Yes, I am. And when Elizabeth spoke to Mary and she saw Mary, something happened. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, Say it with me. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what. Pre-born John jumped for joy. Can you say that with me? Pre-born John jumped for joy. Isn't that incredible? Keep looking. By the way, we have technology now, and thank God this church was able to actually buy the machine for Pregnancy Solutions in Venice that has young girls that come in that are pregnant. This church, thank God, we were able to buy like a $30,000 machine. It was a miracle of God that could happen, so that girls, when they come in, they can look at the picture and they can see it's a baby. Amen? Listen, God put that in the Word for a good reason, lots of reasons. But here's little John, 6 months. Mary comes, and that little baby, that one that's going to be the prophet of the highest, is already getting. The Bible says she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and that little baby's already got the kick of the Holy Ghost in him. Do I understand that? No. Did it happen? Yeah. That's what he probably looked like in about 6 months. Can I see him again? Hello. That's a 6 month image, isn't it? You got that. Hello. Amen. Keep looking. We're about done. We got to quit. He jumped because he was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He jumped because he had the kick of the Holy Ghost in him. That's what I want. I want to be in the presence of Jesus. And here's what your preacher wants. I want the kick of the Holy Ghost in me. Amen? I want that. Amen? I want that for you. And so many of you talk to me and speak to me, and I can see that God's working in your life. It's incredible. It's incredible. Like Gene that just prayed up here a little bit ago. I remember when Gene came, was not a Christian. Now Gene's not only a Christian, he's serving God like crazy, and now he can lift his voice up and pray. You know why? Because he's got the kick of the Holy Ghost. Y'all understand that? Yes or no? Amen. How many can remember what it was to be lost, and now you can know that you're saved? Can I see that? Amen? Amen? Well, I can't talk about it. Hey, come on. Do you believe in Him or not? Amen? So this is a little bit what we learned today. There's more message there. If you want to go to the website, you can check it out. And we just keep going and exploring a little bit more. But John the Baptist is called the prophet of the highest. We can't quit. I said I couldn't do it. We can't quit. I don't care how late it is. Pop it up. Show me what happened. We got to see it. Here we go. We got to see that he's born. We didn't have him born yet. Elizabeth's full term came that she should be delivered. She brought forth a son. Her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed her great mercy. This news went everywhere. They rejoiced with it. It came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called Zechariah. And they called him Zechariah after the name of his daddy. Man, we got to call him Zechariah. Yo-ho! You deserve it. Here we go. And after his mother answered and said, "Not so, but his name shall be called what? John." Just like the angel said. And they said unto her, "There ain't none of folks in your whole family call such a name. Where'd you get such a silly name from?" And they made signs to his father. Hey, she's loco. She's a little sign. She's calling him something funky. They made him signs. That's what the Bible says. And he asked for a writing tablet. He still can't talk. And he wrote down, "John." Amen? And they all marveled. Say it with me. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. Amen. And I bet he never did back talk no angel again. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord for the Word this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good Word. Good job, Raj. Praise the Lord.